Now, in regard to subjects of studies, I've been thinking a great deal as to what should be the subjects of studies. What are the subjects of studies? Now, there are many subjects of studies which are called subjects of specialization. If I want to be a doctor, medical doctor, I study a number of subjects. If I want to be a lawyer, I study some other subjects. If I want to be an accountant, I study some other subjects. If I want to be a pilot, I study some other subjects. There are numerous subjects in the world today, numerous subjects, and these subjects are multiplying tremendously. Therefore, educationists have come to the conclusion that professional studies later on, you concentrate upon what is essential. And what is essential is a very difficult subject to decide. But as I said, now it has been understood, if you learn languages, it is essential. If you learn mathematics, basically, not all fine mathematics, because there are various kinds of mathematics to be learned. If you want to be a pilot, some kind of mathematics has to be learned. If you want to be a physicist, another kind of mathematics has to be learned, and so on. But some mathematics you should learn as a basic equipment. Some physics, some chemistry, some biology, and some history geography. I mean, it is suggested that these are essential subjects which everybody should participate and study. Now, I am not opposing this view, but I am opposing it in a certain direction. Is it really true that these are the most essential subjects of study? There are essential subjects. Is this sufficient? Is it all that we should develop? Is there some other kind of a scheme possible? Now we know, for example, that for a long time in universities like Cambridge and Oxford, there used to be a course of classics. You study only three languages, like Greek, Latin and English, and study the classical literature of these three, along with the history of classics. And it used to be said that this is a wonderful education. All that you need is contained here. You may not need physics, chemistry, biology. You don't need to learn anatomy, physiology, nothing. Classics. There are people who today believe that if you study only Shakespeare, your education is complete. Or they go even to some, you study only King Lear. Study King Lear and your education is very greatly completed. Or what essentially is learned. Now, in Plato's academy, when he started academy, he put down one very important statement: one who knows no mathematics need not enter here. That was the motto which he had put down on his academy: one who does not know mathematics need not enter here. He gave importance to mathematics so much that he felt that if you don't know mathematics, you can't learn philosophy, because his main subject of study in his academy was philosophy. So he thought that you cannot learn philosophy unless you know mathematics in a very great detail. So according to his scheme of education, mathematics and philosophy were the most important subjects of study. Now today in our system of education, this importance is not given. Philosophy is knocked out completely. And mathematics is done in a very perfunctory manner. Except when you take mathematics A level, which I saw the papers for very, very high mathematics, even at the A level, it is not a high mathematics of graduation or undergraduate section. But it is a mathematics which is very high level, even at the A level. But that is if you want to specialize in mathematics ultimately. Now I know that your mother used to give a great importance to mathematics in our ashram school. Great importance to mathematics, because herself she was a mathematician, and she gave a great importance. Manoj, for example, has been taught mathematics by the mother herself. Even at the time of darshan, of distribution of flowers, if Manoj used to go with his notebook, mother would stop all the pranams and all that at that time, but would solve the problem of Manoj at that time. So this was the privilege of mathematics. Pavitrada himself, he was the director of education, and he was one of the top mathematicians. So mother gave a great importance to the study of mathematics, sciences and so on. Now in an Indian system of education, if you examine what are the subjects which you are taught in Indian system, we have a Taittiriya Upanishad. One of the Upanishads is called Taittiriya Upanishad, where some kind of a glimpse is available as to what kind of education was given, what were the subjects which were covered. In Chandogya Upanishad also there is a list of subjects which Narada as a pupil knew when he came to his teacher. When Narada came to his teacher, the teacher asked him, how much do you know? So he gives a list of subjects, physics, chemistry, astronomy, and knowledge of serpents, the knowledge of skies and of nakshatras, and so many sciences, 15, 16 subjects he gives a list of them. Then he says that the teacher says, what do you want to know and why do you want to know further? So he says, I know all these subjects, but I am gripped with sorrow. That is to say, these subjects have no answer as to how to overcome sorrow. So all these subjects are beside the point, and human beings are full of sorrow. And if education is to prepare children to overcome the state of sorrow, then some other education is necessary. And that is why the teacher said to Narada, what you know is only words. That is the starting point of the education which Narada was given by his teacher Sanat Kumar. What you know is only words, but knowledge is beyond words. And then he expounds what is the true knowledge. Now in Indian system of education, the first thing that was taught was pronunciation. A very important starting point, because psychologically every child wants to utter words and sounds. So pronunciation was given the first starting point in the educational system of India. Every child was initiated into pronunciation and recitation. And for a number of years you just pronounce and pronounce correctly, because it was said that if you don't pronounce correctly, your life will be ruined at a very important moment. There is an example given in one of the Brahmanas, that a certain Rakshasa, the vital superman of his time, wanted to kill Indra. And he was given a kind of a mantra by his teacher. And he said that you kill, it meant let Indra be killed by power of my mantra. This was the basic formula. Now in Sanskrit the words can be so organized, and if you make a mistake in it and if you pronounce it wrongly, and this Rakshasa came to pronounce it wrongly, and it meant let me be killed by Indra. And he was killed. I mean, this was just to emphasize the necessity of correct pronunciation. That if you don't pronounce correctly, at a given time in life, it will be ruinous to you. So you should be able to pronounce the words very, very correctly. And that was a great praise given in the Indian system of education, to pronounce correctly. Even today we find that when you go to IAS examination interview and if you can't pronounce properly, you are chucked out. You may have good knowledge, but if you can't pronounce properly, you are chucked out. Your pronunciation must be perfect. So, and then thereafter, there are a number of subjects which have to be studied, in which you learn the universe and something that is beyond the universe. Because as I said, Chandogya Upanishad said that if you know that this world alone is, you turn into misery round and round. You have to learn that there are many other universes. So this education consisted of many things, including the knowledge of the universe and that which is beyond the universe. That was a part of educational system of India. This education system also included study of dharma, dharma of shastra, lot of science, mathematics, physics, biology, chemistry, Ayurveda, the whole science of anatomy, physiology and healing, and a study of the meaning of life and the study of yoga, in addition to the study of poetry, the 64 sciences and arts. For every woman, for example, 64 arts was a compulsory thing. 64 arts, including how to decorate your bed, is also part of education. How to decorate a bed. How to serve food to your guests is also a kind of an art, which was also to be taught to the children, to the young women. And there are many other subjects. As a result, it was said that a student of India was so developed, 32 great qualities always reigned over the consciousness of Indian students, 32 states of consciousness, 32 lakshan, 32 characteristics of consciousness reigned over the Indian students. Sri Aurobindo, while writing on his Brain of India, he says, how is it that India could produce a writer like Vyasa? If you read Vyasa, there is not a single domain of life on which he does not have scientific knowledge. Scientific knowledge, not only knowledge, scientific knowledge, of which Bhagavad Gita is only one yoga shastra, only one yogic science is only one Bhagavad Gita. But when Bhishma gives knowledge to Yudhishthira, he gives the knowledge of political science. And the full science, it is not only politics, how it is played, but political science was taught. And if you study Mahabharata fully, you will have so many scientific treatises, as it were, in the Mahabharata. So Sri Aurobindo says, how was it possible for India to produce one Vyasa? Because Sri Aurobindo's statement is that to produce one climax, we should produce hundreds and millions of approximates. Before you reach a climax, you should have hundreds and millions of approximates. Then only you can reach, one of them will be reaching the climax. So, this would mean that, actually speaking, our present selection of subjects is extremely poor. And we need to examine this aspect very deeply. In our present circumstances, these subjects which you are teaching are good, and we find that their efficacy is proved, there is no question about it. But what place these subjects has to be given, the totality of other subjects which are also necessary, and how to organize it, and what time will you allocate to all these subjects? These are very important, difficult subjects. Now, it is for that reason I say that I am here as a student with all of us to make an inquiry into this. And I want to present to you some of the ideas that are developing in me, which can be of some help to all of us.